ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, the UK and the US have accused groups linked to China of malicious cyber attacks which targeted politicians and sought the personal details of millions of voters. A string of MPs and peers at Westminster, critical of China, have been confirmed to have been targeted. China denies the accusations, calling them fabricated and malicious slanders. Rory Cormack is a professor at the University of Nottingham and an expert in covert action. Welcome back to RN, Rory.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
Just describe for us what we know about the extent and the purpose of this hack in the UK.
Well, it's a tricky one. On the extent, we know quite a lot. They've been reasonably open. They've told us that in 2021 and 2022, there was a large-scale hack on the UK's Electoral Commission systems, getting access to electoral register systems, to control systems, to individual emails. We knew these hacks had already taken place, but for the first time we've been told that it was almost certainly groups affiliated to the Chinese state were behind it. And we've also been told that there was what they were calling reconnaissance activity against certain high-profile MPs who had been critical of China. So we got a sense of the scale of this attack. But I think the purpose or intent is still kind of murky, if we're honest. I'd have liked to have heard a bit more about what they're trying to achieve, because we hear a lot about electoral interference, but a lot of this to me sounds like digital espionage rather than trying to interfere in our democracy, if you like.
Yeah, tell us more about that. The difference, I guess, in terms of political interference in a democratic system, comparing that to straight out espionage.
Well, it's interesting because what it seems like they've been doing was hacking, and the word attacking, cyber attacks isn't the most helpful phrase, I don't think, because it kind of denotes something a bit more active. But what we've seen is they are accessing in order to steal data, to watch, to listen, which is what spying is. That is espionage. It's kind of passive. It's hacking. It's watching. It's listening. To me, that is a slightly different thing from the influence side of things, which is getting in, hacking, in order to interfere and to coerce and to undermine trust. Now, sure, they're two sides of the same coin of secret statecraft, but the latter, getting in there and interfering, messing up our democratic processes, interfering in our elections, that is a much more malicious thing to do. That's a bigger deal. And the Americans, to be fair, in their statements, were slightly more forthcoming than the Brits, because they talked about accessing literally millions of accounts, which could then be released to support malign influence, and that's a worrying thing to a serious threat. We didn't get that in the British statement, I don't think.
Yeah, the US has announced indictments against seven individuals they say were working for China's Ministry of State Security. These announcements were clearly coordinated. What do you make of that coordination?
It's an important part of the response to this growing cyber threat emanating from China. It's a clear attempt to expose, to call out, to make it clear that this kind of activity is not appropriate and will not be tolerated. And it's also a way to try to build a wider coalition of states to agree about what is okay and what is not okay in the international system. And I think there's a growing consensus, if you like, that whilst spying is it's part of what states do, targeting MPs and trying to manipulate or influence democratic processes, that crosses a line. That's not okay. And we're seeing more and more coordinated action with states just exposing this and trying to build momentum against it and coordinate sanctions and just make life more difficult for those groups who are trying to do this and get away with it.
Is there an element of intimidation, do you think, targeting those MPs who have been described as China hawks?
I think there is. And this is where the interference probably comes in, because they are, you know, doing reconnaissance. They're trying to gather data on these people, which is spying. But if the people know about this, whether they're tipped off through, you know, intelligence services or press reports or whatever it may be, then there is an attempt to influence. If you're intimidating, you're trying to silence critics. And we see the same thing in America, where they've said that pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong have been targeted. You know, that is a level of intimidation, trying to silence people and trying to shape political processes. So that for me is where it shifts from run-of-the-mill spying to something a bit more sinister and malign. But again, that depends on the people who are targeting actually knowing about it in the first place.
So what of the response? There have been sanctions placed on two individuals and a company by the UK. It seems the US in its sanctions has gone a bit further, and the UK response has been pretty heavily criticised by a number of MPs. What do you make of all that?
It's not much, is it? Let's be honest. Sanctions on two people and a company, freezing assets, travel ban. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it's reasonable things to do as part of a wider package of responses. But
why not go harder? I mean, is that because they don't know who else to sanction, or something else going on?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I think. We don't know what the levels of intelligence are. You need pretty high levels of certainty to do these sanctions in the first place. And so how much wider they go, as an outsider, I don't know. But what is also at play is, you know, the very, very complicated nature of the relationship between the UK in particular and the US as well with China. You know, you've got people coming out strongly and saying the UK government needs to formally say that China is a threat. But the UK government is quite reluctant to do that, given the need to cooperate with China on really, you know, pressing issues of climate change. It doesn't get much more serious than that. So it's very complicated, and the UK government are trying to straddle a line, but it's becoming more and more difficult for them as China does more and more brazen and mass scale hacks like this.
Foreign Secretary David Cameron has been criticised for his ties to China. He recently said Beijing has changed since he was Prime Minister, considered the golden era of UK-China relations. But there were serious questions too about the wisdom of allowing Huawei into internet networks back then. Has the UK been too slow to take the threat posed by China seriously?
It has. I think it's been quite slow. Been driven by economic and trade and commercial priorities. It's no great secret that UK is in a slight economic slump at the moment. So trade and economic things are valued very, very highly. And I think, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, there was talk of this golden age of UK-China relations. It clearly hasn't materialised. But things do blow hot and cold with the UK-China relationship. We've seen Cameron be criticised for his overtures. We saw just a few weeks ago British minister making, you know, more kind of overtures towards China, and now it swings the other way. So I think there is a lot of inconsistency around this, and it just gets to that fundamental point of China is both a significant challenge as well as someone that we need to work with on at least some level. It's an incredibly difficult balancing act for the UK government, to be fair to them, to walk.
Thank you, Rory.
My pleasure.
Rory Cormack is a professor at the University of Nottingham and an expert in covert action and secret statecraft.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.